Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to everybody who is with us tonight. Pull up a chair and let's study the word of Yahweh. Let us start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne in heaven and we praise you and we bless you for another week of life. We thank you, Father, for all you do in our life. We thank you for your holy days that are coming up. We thank you for your protection, and we thank you, Father, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear in these troubled times we live in. We pray, Father, and ask your Spirit to guide and lead this study as we study your word and your truth. And we thank you for all you do. We thank you for the great sacrifice of sending your Son to pay the penalty of our sins. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. All right, so I am going to very briefly just go into some world news. I just sent out a brethren letter a little while ago, and also the world news update. So most of this you'll be getting, and a lot of it I went over a couple of weeks ago when we were doing the world news update. So just a few articles I just want to briefly go over before getting into the calendar tonight on when does the month begin, as we are beginning getting ready in another few days to start the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar, which is the very exciting month because we have the holy days coming up. So over here, this was coming from September 5th. It says a blood moon and a total lunar eclipse are happening this weekend. How to watch and what time will they happen? And actually, because you have to be at the right time at the right place to be able to see it, it only happened really in the Middle East is where this was going on, where you could actually see it. And that's the next article that says, blood moon rises in skies above Israel during total lunar eclipse. So, wow, to have a total lunar eclipse at the same time the blood moon coming up and right over Israel is another sign of the times. I'm not going to get into the article. You could read it yourself, but very interesting. Here are some important things that are going on right now as the United Nations is meeting in New York for their yearly meeting that they have. UN overwhelmingly endorses non-binding call to establish Palestinian state. So this resolution passed 142 to 10. So 142 countries voted for a Palestinian state. Only 10 countries voted against it. And we'll see what happens as this goes on here. Here's an interesting article that says, computers taught to read the Dead Sea Scrolls in hunt for clues hidden from human eyes. So it's almost like those infrared cameras and the different things that they have computers now that can actually read things that are in the Dead Sea Scrolls that you cannot see with the naked eye. And that article is telling everything how they're doing it and what they're coming up with. I've been saying for a while how, most of what you see in the war in Gaza is just people like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu coming out and saying how strong they are and they're going to win and all this, but how much of a toll that this war is taking, not just on the Palestinians, but also on the Israelis. And here's an article from the Times of Israel, a Hebrew newspaper. More than 10,000 IDF soldiers have been treated for mental health issues since October 7th. More than 10,000. And that's not including the thousands and thousands that are, are maimed or lamed or, all kinds of physical, but 10,000 being treated for mental health issues. And like I said, Israel is not that big of a country. Here's another article. Arab Muslim leaders urge review of Israel ties after attack on Hamas leaders in Doha. So this happened last week where in Doha, they were having, meetings with Hamas and the Arabs. And I believe the Americans even had representation there in releasing the hostages. And almost like what happened in Iran and what happened earlier in the year with Hezbollah, that Israel boldly went in there and assassinated a bunch of people. They didn't get the Hamas leaders they were looking for, but literally they assassinated a bunch of people in a sovereign country in Doha. So Arab leaders now have been meeting. They're talking about cutting Israel off from the UN and relationships. And we will see as time goes on, but this is not a good development at all. And here's an interesting article. It says, Mark Zuckerberg unveils Meta's newest AI-powered smart glasses. So I've seen this week between the tattoo that Bill Gates has said they're ready to start using this tattoo, and also these glasses where people would not have to have that idiotic phone anymore in their hand 24 hours a day, but the glasses and the tattoo would be doing the same thing. And we are there where they are already doing this. People are already using it, and this article is on that. So that's why I'm gonna talk about that tonight. I want to get into the study, but some really good articles. The ones I went over a couple of weeks ago are all in there. Some very, very serious articles. So I hope you read the World News Update. It's a big one this time. I think it's close to 70 pages. And many, many things have been going on for the last month or so. So here we go. And another year is here. In according to the biblical calendar, there's two ways for a year to come in and go out. We have Aviv, which is the beginning of the regular, normal biblical year that starts anytime after the equinox, late March, early April. But then also you have the end of the agricultural year, which is now. So the agricultural year is ending, and that's when Sukkot comes, when all of the Sukkot harvest fruits are taken, and people go up to Jerusalem and appear before Yahweh, and they rejoice. So I'm going to be talking about today, how does a month start? There's either 12 or 13 months in a biblical year. And how do you calculate that month? So Genesis 1 and verse 14 says, and Elohim said, let the light sources in the expanse of the heavens to divide between the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So barley is not the beginning of a month or the beginning of a year, but the light sources in the expanse of the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And we know the sun rules the day, right? And very important, like I always say, find Yahweh's premise, you know, how he does something, and he never changes, you know. So what is the precedent he sets, and he never changes, and just follow that. So we know the sun rules the day, we know the moon rules the month, and we know a combination of the sun and the moon and the stars rule the year. I went over that the last time, you know, how do you calculate the beginning of the years? So, Psalm 104 in verse 19 says, he made the moon for seasons, Moedim, holy days. The sun knows it's going down. So I'll get into that in a little bit. But just that we know the moon is for seasons. The moon is for the month. The sun is for the day. So how do we calculate, though? How do we calculate by the moon cycle? And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things being hoped, the evidence of things not having been seen, right? So some people want to go by a crescent moon. They want to see it. They say you have to see it to know it begins. But that's not the beginning of the cycle. The beginning of the moon cycle is not when the crescent comes. By the time the crescent comes, you're already anywhere from probably 3, 4% up to about 6% into the current cycle, because of the elliptical way that the Earth and the Sun revolve, you know, that the Earth moves on its axis. When the moon comes, it can be anywhere from around 8 hours to 72 hours after a new moon conjunction that a crescent can come up. So again, it is not the same every month, and that's why, you know, the conjunction happens somewhere different every month, somewhere different over the earth, as we'll see here in a little bit. But faith is the evidence of things having hope, for the evidence of things not having been seen. We don't have to see a crescent moon to know that the moon cycle has started. And in verse 3 it says, by faith we understand the ages to have been framed by the word of Yahweh, so that the things seen should not come into being out of things that already appear. You know, which came first, the chicken or the egg, right? Read that again. So that the things seen should not come into being out of things that already appear. No. The darkness comes first, and then the light comes out of the darkness. So here we see the precedent laid out of creation is that things created did not come into being out of things that already appeared, right? And if we look at it, right, the world in Genesis 1, verse 2 and 3, maybe I'll read it here. And the earth being without form and empty and darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim moving gently on the face of the waters, then Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light, right? So what do we see? We see that the world started in darkness. We see the same way that the day starts in darkness, right? And we see that the month starts in darkness. And as we're going to see, Yahweh does not have human beings visually go out to sight something to start time because there's too many ways that errors can happen. So logically think about it. When the day starts, right, every Friday evening, like tonight, did you go out and visually sight something to know the day started? No. How did you know that the Sabbath started? By the absence of the sun. When the sun disappeared, that's when the day started. So it's the same way with the month. That's the pressing Yahweh said. You know, that time starts in darkness. The earth, as we just read, started in darkness. The day starts in darkness. The month starts in darkness. And even life in the womb starts in darkness. So it does not start with going out and sighting something, but it starts in darkness. That's the precedent that Yahweh said. And logically think to yourself, the calendar is a clock in the sky, right? And Yahweh is perfect and he's symmetrical. So the sun, the moon, and the stars are that clock that's up there. And since most people in ancient times were either farmers or shepherds, doesn't it stand the reason that Yahweh would make telling time very simple, logical, and symmetrical? Of course he would. So if you're looking at a clock, right, look at your watch, you know, when the two hands are both exactly on 12, that's setting itself, that's 12 o'clock. You know, once it goes 15 minutes in, that's a quarter of an hour, 15 minutes into the hour. The same way when you look up in the sky and you see a quarter of a moon, you know one quarter of the month is gone. When the clock hits the three on the bottom, you know, halfway through the circle, you know half of the hour is gone. The same way that when you see a full moon, you know half of the month is gone. When you see a waning quarter crescent on the other side, the same way as it, you get to 15 more minutes, 45 minutes on the other side, you see your three quarters through the hour. And the same way if you see just a quarter waning crescent, you know your three quarters through the moon cycle. And then when it comes back into darkness, you know that it is starting over again. So that is the moon cycle. That's the way the cycle, the moon cycle goes. And years ago when I was studying this, I was thinking to myself, you know, Yahweh is very logical. He's very simple. And like I said, he's got to make something so that everybody can understand it. And I studied many, many, many years ago about the hieroglyphics of the Hebrew language. Hebrew was originally 22 pictures. It started as a pictograph language. And whenever I, in the beginning, years and years and years ago, when I was studying things, technical things like this, I'd always look at what the words said in the pictograph language, because usually that told a lot. So when I looked up the pictograph language for the word new moon, you know, literally what the Hebraic hieroglyphic says, that the definition of the Hebrew word picture for the new moon is the separation of the cycle or pathway of the consuming moon. And it's like, ah, that makes so much sense. It is the separation of the cycle or the pathway of the consuming moon. See, the moon is always moving. The moon never stops moving, even at conjunction. Conjunction, when it happens, it's just a moment in time as the moon keeps moving into the new month. And it's that moment in time when the sun, the moon, and the earth are lining up in the same longitude. So it makes total sense that the only separation of that pathway, because like I said, it's always moving. After the conjunction, it goes into quarter moon, half moon, quarter waning moon, and boom, back to the new moon, every 29.5 days on average. So the only separation of the pathway of the consuming moon is the conjunction. So it makes total sense that it's there. And the luminary bodies, like I said, they are the dividing factor. And as you'll notice in Genesis, or anywhere else for that matter, it never says that you must go out and sight the moon or sight the sun to start the day or to start the month. The complete opposite, like I said. The day starts at the absence of the sun. The moon starts at the absence of the conjunction happens at the absence of the moon. And when the new year comes and the equinox, it's actually the absence of the shadow. The shadow starts from the equinox and it goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And then it gets, just like the moon cycle, smaller and smaller, smaller, smaller. And the only day where there is not a shadow is the day of the equinox. So let's go into, because there's really only two ways to calculate the new moon that I know of anyway. There's I shouldn't say that today. You've got all kinds of wacko ideas and people out there coming up with all kinds of crazy stuff because of some of these false books that they're reading, Book of Enoch and Book of this and Book of that. But basically, throughout time, there have been basically two ways that believers have calculated the calendar. One is by the conjunction, starting like I'm talking about now, and one is by visually sighting a crescent moon. I'm going to give you some reasons why the crescent moon could not be the way to start the year, although I do admit that after the Babylonian captivity, when Israel came back to Israel, after the captivity, they did use a crescent moon for a time. I'm not denying that. They got it from Babylon. Babylon used a crescent moon to start their months. And when they came, and that's why even with the biblical calendar, they even bore certain names of certain months from the Babylonian calendar that they used there. But the first thing is, if one is sighting a crescent moon to start the month, do you go by local crescent sighting or go by Jerusalem sighting? And this is really important because someone may say, what's the difference? Well, if you're in a local area, you know, if you're in, you know, Carteret, New Jersey, you know, where I grew up, and you're sighting a crescent moon, you could come up with a totally different day than what they're seeing in Jerusalem, or actually what they're seeing an hour away. And to be honest, this is one of the things. When I started looking into the calendar, the person who was sharing with me the biblical calendar was actually a crescent keeper. And I started by keeping the crescent. But yet when I came to the congregation was teaching it, and the questions that I'm going to ask here, when they brought up, I couldn't answer them, and I realized the crescent couldn't be correct. So if you're going by a local sighting, you could have up to three different holy days, right? Yahweh's not the author of confusion. Very clearly in the Bible we see the 14th day of the first month is Passover. The 15th day to the 21st day is unleavened bread. You know, this first day of the seventh month is Yom Teruah. You know, the 10th day of the seventh month is Yom Kippur. The 15th day of the seventh month to the 21st day of the seventh month is Sukkot. And then the 22nd day of the seventh month, 21st, 22nd, is the last great day. So every single holy day is defined, except of course for Shavuot, because Shavuot you have to count. It depends on, you know, when the count starts during Passover week. So it stands to reason that the holy days are a specific time. There can't be three different or two different days for the same holy day. It just don't work that way. There's one day. So when I was a pastor in Carteret, New Jersey, and I also had a small congregation in Pennsylvania. The new moon happened right at the equinox. So, which means if the new moon came before the equinox, you have to add a month. If the new moon comes after the equinox, then that's the first month of the year. The people in Carteret saw the new moon the day before the equinox, so they added a month. The people in Pennsylvania didn't see it that night. They didn't see it till the next night. So they were keeping the Passover that month. So here it is, people that are living about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes from each other were actually keeping the holy days a month apart. And once I saw that, I said, this is chaos, this is confusion. You can't go by local sighting. You never see anywhere in the Bible of local sighting, right? A matter of fact, what you see in the Bible is when you enter the land. That's what Yahweh said. When you enter the land, that's when you are to keep these holy days. The holy days were never meant for anywhere but the land of Israel and coming up to the city of Jerusalem. Now we know that Israel was disobedient. Israel got kicked out of the land. And here we are in diaspora. So in diaspora, of course, I'm not saying don't keep the holy days in diaspora. Of course, you have to keep the holy days in diaspora. What I'm saying is the intent of the holy days was always to keep them from Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is the center of the earth, and Jerusalem is where we should be calculating the holy days from. Because if you don't have a starting point, even if you're going by conjunction, as we're going to see, if you don't have a starting point, you can have two or three different holy days. And the starting point is always has to be Jerusalem. So, that's why I don't believe in local sighting. I believe in Jerusalem sighting. But my question is, if you're going by somebody sighting a crescent moon in Jerusalem, how on earth, before modern technology in the last 30, 40, 50 years, would somebody have known when somebody saw a crescent moon in Jerusalem? Right? So how would we ever have been able to keep the holy days for the last 2,000 years? If you had to sight a crescent moon in Jerusalem, it's impossible. And the thing is, if you're going by conjunction, you don't need anybody to tell you. Once you know one conjunction, right, because it's every 29 and a half days, you could know every new moon past and forward forever. All you need to know is one. So that's why, definitely conjunction is the way to go. But that's why sighting a crescent moon, that's the first thing. The second thing is, if you're visually going out to sight a crescent moon, what happens if it's cloudy, right? What if it's cloudy out there? Now, the crescent people will say, well, if it's cloudy, then you just keep it the next night. But isn't that postponing? Because if it wasn't cloudy and the crescent was out there, that would be the new moon. So the fact that it was cloudy and you didn't see it, you can't postpone it to another day, because that's no different than the rabbis postponing Yahweh's holy days. As we see, they have four rules for postponement. So that's the second reason why I don't believe Yahweh would have put in to visually sight a crescent moon, because what happens if it's cloudy? And also, since the moon cycle's path has a 5-degree angle compared to the earth, the new moon can be seen as early as around 8 to 12 hours after conjunction 1 month, or up to 72 hours another month. Almost a 3-day difference in other months. So how can you be almost 3 days into the moon cycle and only call it the new moon? So that's why, because of that, because of the moon's path, right, and the angle to the earth and the wobble, it's always different every month. So the crescent is not... it's not a solid way, because every month is going to be different into the moon cycle. Like I said, 1 month you could be 8 to 12 hours, and 1 month you could be almost 72 hours into the moon cycle. So clearly from this we see that the crescent moon, I don't believe, from the things I'm saying, would be it. Yahweh specifically made the calculating of the time the way he did, so that men would not have to visually sight the sun or the moon or the stars and then start to worship them as pagans did. So remember, Israel is coming into a land, right, that there's people living there. There's Amorites, there's Canaanites, there's Perizzites, Amalekites. There's all different people living in that land that are pagans that are already worshiping the sun and the moon and the stars. So do you really think, under those circumstances, that Yahweh is going to have his people go every month and visually sight the moon? You know, it's like I say, it's almost like telling an alcoholic to watch a room full of whiskey and think he's not going to wind up drinking it sooner or later. So with mankind's propensity toward paganism, and particularly with Israel's propensity toward paganism, Yahweh, it says, does not tempt man. And I don't believe Yahweh would have ever gave a temptation like that. No. Today, okay, people have all different kinds of idolatry. People are not really worshiping at least most people, the sun or the moon. But in those days, they really did. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 17 and let's see this. Deuteronomy 17, verse 2 says, when there was found among you in one of your gates, which Yahweh your Elohim has given to you, a man or woman who does that which is evil in the sight of Yahweh Elohim in transgressing his covenant, and has gone and served other gods and worshiped them, or the sun or the moon or the host of the heaven, which I have not commanded, and it has been revealed to you, and you have heard, and searching you've searched, and behold, it is true, and the thing is confirmed that this hateful thing has been done in Israel. Then you shall bring out to your gates that man or that woman who has done this evil thing, the man or the woman, and you shall stone them with stones, that they shall die. So that's the point. Whether serving a false Elohim, a false G-O-D, you know, as many do today, or the sun, the moon, or the host of the heaven, the people are doing that. So when Yahweh appeared to Israel, Mount Sinai, remember, he specifically let them hear his voice, but he did not allow them to see any image so that they would not make an idol out of it. So in the same manner, Yahweh would never have Israelites visually sight a crescent each month, knowing it would provoke them to making idolatrous images. And I say this because some people are starting the day now at sunrise instead of sunset. And I say, if Israel in ancient times started the day at sunrise instead of sunset, instead of a menorah in every house would be a sunburst. This is the way people are. They're just, you know, they have a propensity toward paganism. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 11, right? So Yahweh appeared to Israel. He let them hear his voice, but they never saw his image. Deuteronomy 4, 11 and 12 says, and you drew near and stood below the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the heart of the heavens, darkness, cloud, and thick gloom. And Yahweh spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sounds of words, but you did not see a form, only a voice, right? Because if Yahweh ever showed them a form, they would have been making a form like that, and they would have been worshiping. When Israel entered the land of Canaan, right? Later, of course, it became the land of Israel. Under Joshua, there were Canaanites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Amorites, and other pagans who were living there and sanctifying the crescent moon at that time. And this is why Yahweh told Israel not to do such a thing as this, and why very clearly, visibly sighting a crescent moon is not the way the biblical calendar starts the month. That's just a fact. There's a word actually in Hebrew for crescent, but it is never used, not even once, when referring to the new moon, right? Rosh Chodesh, you know, is the head of the new. That's literally what it means. The word moon is not even used there, and the word crescent certainly is not used. The word used in scripture when referring to the new moon, like I said, is Rosh Chodesh, which literally means the head of the month or beginning of the moon cycle, which again gives reference to the conjunction or starting point of the moon cycle when the sun, the moon, and the earth are in perfect alignment. And there is absolutely no evidence that Israelites ever visually sighted a crescent before the Babylonian captivity. After the Babylonian captivity, because they were keeping the crescent moon in Babylon, Israel brought it back from Babylon. By the time a crescent would be visible, there would be no longer the head of the cycle or the Rosh Chodesh, right? It wouldn't be the head of the new moon cycle because they could be up to 3 days into it already. Let's look at another scripture here that talks about actually the word crescent, not with the moon cycle, but with something else. And it's Isaiah 3:18 with paganism. In that day, Yahweh will take away the beauty of the ankle bracelets and the headbands and the crescents, right? They were wearing them as pendants around their necks. And the pendants, the bracelets, and the veils. Oh, excuse me. If one is honest, they will admit that the word crescent is only 3 times mentioned in Scripture and never once in connection with the start of the month, but always in connection with a pagan amulet that is being ripped off and destroyed. As mentioned, the word for new moon in scripture is Rosh Chodesh, and literally means the head of the new. The word moon, or in Hebrew, the word for moon is Yerach, is not even mentioned, never mind the fact that the crescent is not mentioned at all. Here's another disturbing fact when you're looking at this crescent, because the crescent has always been a very, very evil symbol. When you look today, the crescent is used in communism. It's used in all kinds of false Mary worship, pagan stuff. The crescent, and in, for Arabic, it's used for Islam, the crescent. And not only is it used for Islam, it's specifically used for the false deity Allah. He's called the moon god. But even more than that, when you look at the name for Satan, right? What was Satan's name before it was Satan, right? His name was Lucifer. That's what we see in Isaiah 14. But Lucifer is actually the Latin name. The Hebrew name is Hillel. Hillel, which means brightness or light. And the word Hillel in Hebrew has the same meaning in Arabic. In Arabic, it's Hilal. Hilal, it's an Arabic term, particularly associated with the crescent moon. First developed in pre-Islamic Arabia. The very slight crescent moon is what is first visible a day or two or three after a new moon. Muslims start their month not by conjunction, but by the cultic crescent moon. Muslims look for the Hillel, the Satan, when determining the beginning and the end of Islamic months. In the modern world, Hillel is a representation of the moon god in Arabian astrology. In modern times, Hillel was connected with the later monotheistic deity of Allah. He's the moon god. The worshipping of Allah is always connected to the moon, and through the discernment of the scripture, we all know that Hillel, or in Arabic, Hilal, is the same object. He is Lucifer or Satan. So from the above example, we can see that the worshipping of Allah is the worshipping of the moon god and also the worshipping of Lucifer. Crescent moons are also connected with communism, like I said, occultism, and other secular, non-biblical, evil associations. The crescent moon is also an attribute of Isis, the great mother of the Egyptians, and in Christian iconography of the Virgin Mary, like I said. So it's really inconceivable that Yahweh would use such an occultic pagan symbol to start the biblical calendar each and every month. It just is not part of Yahweh's pattern and not what he does. If we look in Judges 8 and verse 21, the story of Gideon, we see these pagan crescents again. And Zeba and Zalmunna said, "You rise up and fall on us, for as the man, so is his might." And Gideon rose up and killed Zeba and Zalmunna and took the moon crescents which were on the necks of their camels. So there are no biblical or historical records that ever show that Israel was visibly sighting a crescent moon to start the month before they came out of the captivity of Babylon in 539 BC. That's a matter of fact. And we know that Israel retained the crescent moon from Babylon because once they returned from the captivity, they also adopted some of the Babylonian names of the month. Let's go to another scripture here to show that, because with the crescent moon, you can't know, right? You have to visually sight it. So they don't know if it's going to be, it's the 29th day and they have no idea. They have to go out. If they don't see it, they wait until the next day. So when they go out on that 30th day, they have no idea if that's going to be the new moon or not. Yet when we go to 1 Samuel 20 and verse 5, look what David says. And David said to Jonathan, "Behold, the new moon is tomorrow. And sitting, I should certainly sit with the king to eat, and you shall send me away, and I shall be hidden in the field until the third evening." So how on earth would David know distinctly that the next day was the new moon if they were visually sighting a crescent moon, because they weren't? Now, crescent keepers might say, well, maybe they already came out the first night and they didn't see it, so it had to be that second night. And that couldn't be the case. You know why? Because they were keeping 2 days at that time. Because probably they didn't understand, because the moon can be dark for 2 days, right? Even up to almost 3 days, depending on the month. And they probably didn't understand how to calculate conjunction. So they just kept the dark of the moon and they kept it 2 days. But certainly this would have been the first day, because there was a second day after that. It wouldn't have been the second day. So David knew when the new moon would be. So certainly he was not going visually sighting a crescent moon, because he knew it would be. The next one, I always say, boy, if there could just be one clear-cut scripture, right? If there was just one clear-cut scripture that can say that the new moon is either the dark of the moon or the crescent moon, wouldn't that make it so easier? And what do you know? There is. There is. Psalm 81 in verse 3. It's talking about the new moon, and it talks exactly when the new moon happens, and look what it says. Psalm 81:3. Blow the ram's horn in the new moon at the covered moon on our feast day. Blow the ram's horn in the new moon at the covered moon. That word in Hebrew is keseh, and literally is to fully cover. It's to fully cover. The word is keseh, and it's to fully cover. So very clearly there, what is this talking about? It's talking about the Feast of Trumpets. When you're blowing the horn in the new moon, and when is the new moon? At the covered moon. So very clearly, this is 100%, it is not the crescent, it is the covered moon, it is the dark moon, it is the conjunction. So we see here, right, that the first day of the seventh month is a new moon, and it is the covered or concealed, that's literally what keseh means, to cover or conceal. The covered or concealed moon, as scripture states, can only be referring to the conjunction and not sighting a crescent. Like I said, the word keseh, you could look it up for yourself. We've talked to linguistic experts over the years in Israel and scholars, and everyone said the same thing. The word keseh means to cover or conceal. So very, very clearly that Yom Teruah, which is coming up in a few days here, blow the trumpet, blow the ram's horn in the new moon. That's the first day of the seventh month. When is it? At the covered or concealed moon. It's at conjunction. Leviticus 23 and verse 24, look what it says. Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, a holy day Sabbath, you shall keep a memorial acclamation of the resounding of trumpets, a holy gathering. So, Leviticus 23:24, which will be coming up Monday night and Tuesday next week, will be the first day of the seventh month. And it's also a holy day. It's a hagim. It is a holy day Sabbath, right? So if we're commanded to keep this day holy as a Sabbath on the first day of the seventh month, how on earth can it be that you wouldn't know it by a crescent? Because you don't know the crescent at sunset. So when sunset comes, you wouldn't know if it was the holy day or not. You would have to wait hours to see if the crescent comes up. So how can you prepare for that holy day not knowing this? And after sunset, you would have to keep it as if it was the holy day until hours go by and you don't see it. So that is total confusion. Yahweh is not the author of confusion. So you cannot go by a crescent sighting, because you're not going to see the crescent until after sunset, and you would not know, as the new day already started, whether it was the holy day or not. Yahweh would never have such a confusing thing when he's commanding a holy day. So that fact alone shows that the calendar has to be calculated according to conjunction, as holy day Sabbaths must begin at sunset, and the crescent is not seen till later in the evening. So how on earth would you know whether that was the holy day or not? After sunset proves very, very clearly that you could not be going by the crescent moon, because there's no way of knowing it until later in the evening. The other thing is, we know that Yeshua was not crucified on a Friday and resurrected on a Sunday. You cannot get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. It's very, very clear. And yet, if we go to the year that Yeshua was crucified, in 30 AD, which almost all reputable scholars will agree with that. It's very clearly, we know it from many, many different things. In 30 AD, you'll come up with a Wednesday night Last Supper, you know, and a Thursday Pesach when Yeshua was crucified, and you still have 3 days and three nights. He's in the tomb, and he's resurrected early on the first day of the week. But if you're going by crescent moon sighting in the year 30 AD, you're back to Friday crucifixion, Saturday holy day, and Sunday supposedly without 3 days and three nights. So you're back to Catholicism. You're back to a false theory there another way. And these are things where people couldn't have known 100 years ago, because we didn't have computers and we weren't able to calculate the calendars from 2,000 years ago. But now we can. Now it's very clearly, just go to timeanddate.com and look up 38D, and you'll find out that if you're going by a crescent moon, then you're back to a Friday crucifixion and Sunday resurrection, which is impossible. Another thing which is important to note that I was saying, even though Israel kept the crescent moon when they came out of Babylon, what's very, very interesting is that we do know, though, from history, that in the year 10 BC, just 7 years before the birth of Yeshua, that Hillel the Elder, not Hillel the Second, who changed the calendar, but Hillel the Elder, reinstituted the conjunction for starting a month. So they were going by conjunction when Yeshua was alive. And I'm going to give you a quote on this. In the book of Maggid, Harakiah, on page 35, it states that the rabbis at the time of Hillel knew how to calculate the months, but guarded it as a secret and simply used the sighting of the crescent to confirm their calculations. Regardless, though, history clearly tells us that Hillel the Elder, in 10 BC, reinstituted calculating the month by conjunction, as Jim Ingle also stated in his biblical calendar dissertation. So well respected was Hillel the Elder that the Talmud actually calls him the successor to the priest Ezra. So very, very, very clear when we're looking at that. We see that even though they were going by crescent moon when they came out of Babylon, before Yeshua was born, in 10 BC, Hillel the Elder reinstituted going by conjunction for the start of the month. When we look at Yahweh's pattern that does not change, Malachi 3:6, we see from Genesis 1:14 that Yahweh sets the standard for time by natural circular rotation of the sun, moon, and stars. When the earth revolves once on its axis, it's called a day, from sunset to sunset, Leviticus 23:32. When the earth circles around the sun from equinox to equinox in a complete circular revolution, it is a year. And when the moon makes a full revolution around the earth and resets itself at conjunction, it is called a month. By calculating the moon by a crescent moon, it throws the whole circular pattern of everything off up to 3 days. The crescent is not a constant and can be seen anywhere from 12 hours after conjunction up to 72 hours. In the entirety of Scripture, there is not one single command to visually sight a crescent to start the month. But Psalm 81, verse 3 clearly states the new moon starts at the time of the covered moon, the conjunction. By human beings incorrectly bringing human response into the equation, whether it be by man planting barley or man sighting at what time the crescent moon was seen, it negates the sovereign power that Yahweh has over his luminary bodies. Nowhere in Scripture is any human activity connected with being needed to be able to start a new time cycle, as it is witnessed during Noah's flood. And like I said, for 2,000 years, the Jews weren't even in Israel. So who would be telling how to start a month? How would the believers to keep Passover if they had to go by either barley that's being grown in Israel or a crescent that's sighted in Israel? Actually, Yahweh simply tells us in Scripture what the markers are for the time he created. Genesis 1:14. And man was simply meant to watch for those markers and see the heavenly signs for the start of the month, the day, and the year, but not to try to cause them, which man does today. So the last thing I want to go into here before we end the Bible study is, I just want to go into which day is conjunction, right? So we know, you know, from records now, like I said, you can go to timeanddate.com or other websites, and you can see exactly when the conjunction is. You could see that, you know, that the conjunction, I believe the one that's coming on Tuesday, I don't quote me on this, but, you know, like it might be like midnight or 2 a.m. Jerusalem time or whatever it is. But because conjunction happens at a different time every month now, it doesn't always happen at the same place or the same time, people get confused sometimes. And I know that some of the people that I was associating with many years ago, they were keeping the new moon from the day of conjunction. So whatever day the conjunction happened, they would keep that as the first day of the month. The problem being is sometimes the conjunction wouldn't happen for 1 hour before sunset. So that means they're keeping the day 23 hours. They're starting the day before the conjunction actually happened. And what are they doing by doing that? You're overlapping time. And the same way, we don't overlap days. When the sun is down and one day is over, a new day is beginning. You know, it's the same way with the month. You're not overlapping time. When one cycle is done, the next cycle starts. The same with the year. You know, that's why you have to wait for the equinox, because you can't start the year before 1 year is ended. So if you have to wait for the equinox, and it's very simple how to start the year. We went over this before. Just wait for the equinox and the next new moon is the first month of the year. But if you start your month 17 days before the equinox, you're overlapping years and you're going to overlap time and you're going to wind up into problems. And that's why sometimes I've seen it all the years us living in Israel. I've seen sometimes people even starting the new year in February. I've seen them, the growing cycle in Israel proves whether your calendar is right or wrong. Because if your growing cycle is right, if you wait for the equinox, you're always going to have barley for Passover if you wait till after the equinox. And you will always have the Sukkot fruits in the fall. If you start your year too early, which some people do, I think this year there were some people keeping Sukkot the end of August. And they would have no biblical fruits. There wouldn't be any pomegranates. There wouldn't be any figs or dates or any of the other things there. So you can't start the day 15 or 20 hours before the conjunction. So it's very easy. The same way as like the vernal equinox. You wait for the equinox and then the first new moon starts the first month of the year. It's the same thing here. You wait for the conjunction to happen. The conjunction is the beginning of the new month. And then you simply wait for sunset. Sunset after conjunction and boom. Now you have the beginning of your new month. So first let's define what a conjunction is so you understand what you're even looking for. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica in astronomy, a conjunction is an apparent meeting or passing of two or more celestial bodies at the same celestial longitude. The moon is in conjunction with the sun at the phase of the moon. When it moves between the earth and the sun and the side turned toward the earth is dark, right? So it's you have the same celestial bodies in the same longitude. So some people try to say that the conjunction happens at the same place everywhere on earth. That's not true by this definition. You see it. It happens in one moment in time, you know, the same moment in time. It only happens in a moment because, like I said, the sun, the moon, and the stars are always moving. And that 1 minute where they're lined up, and it's actually more than a minute, but as they're lined up because the, you know, the moving is slow when they move away. But it doesn't happen at the same place. It happens at the same time, but it doesn't happen in the same place. So logic will tell you if there's an eclipse happening in Japan, it can't be happening on the other side of the globe in New York at the same time. So like I said, when you're just looking at the definition, it's those celestial bodies in the same longitude, you know, the sun, the moon, and the earth. So when the moon is in conjunction with the earth at Rosh Chodesh, the whole earth is not in the same longitude, only the area where the conjunction occurs. So conjunction does not happen in every place, but it does happen at the same time. So it's a very simple deduction. You simply wait for the conjunction and then you wait for the sunset. Now, the only controversy, I guess you could say, or only question that comes into being is, again, do you go by local sighting or do you go by Jerusalem sighting? Because if you go by local sighting, you're back to square one again, where what's going to happen? You are going to have, if you're going by local sighting, you can have two or three different holy days. So, to be logical, if people are not keeping judicial order and they're not looking toward Jerusalem, then of course, if I'm in New Jersey and conjunction happened at 5 o'clock in New Jersey and 6:30 is sunset, then of course that sunset is going to be the first day of the month. But knowing that If it's 5 o'clock in New Jersey, that means it's midnight in Jerusalem, past sunset. So that means that it wouldn't be until the next sunset in Jerusalem to start the month. So I got two choices, right? I can start it in New Jersey and have a different day than Jerusalem, or I could look to the symmetry that Yahweh put, because Jerusalem is the center of the earth and Jerusalem is where the holy days come from. And if we're all going to be keeping the same holy day, and like I said, Yahweh never even meant for holy days to be kept in diaspora, because he never meant for diaspora. He meant for us to be in Israel forever. Being in diaspora is a punishment, and that's why there's some confusion in that punishment. But in the end time, at least in the congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem, I couldn't imagine anyone in our congregation ever thinking that they're right if they're keeping a holy day different than Jerusalem. Why would you? Jerusalem is the center of the earth. Jerusalem is where we're all looking for. Jerusalem is our eternal capital. And everyone goes by Jerusalem time. So we have no problem in the congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem with this, that we're looking at Jerusalem time. So when you're looking at conjunction, you don't look at your local time. You got to look at Jerusalem time. So whenever the conjunction happened, if the conjunction just happened and it's 1 o'clock in the morning in Jerusalem, you simply wait for that sunset. And at that sunset of that day, that's the, you know, the beginning of the new month. And, you know, the next morning, the next day, whatever day of the calendar that is, that's the first day of the new month. Of course, it starts at sunset the night before. But I understand if somebody doesn't follow judicial order and if somebody doesn't look toward Jerusalem, I could totally understand why somebody would go by local sighting, but I don't believe it's correct. And that's why I believe in the end time that what Yahweh is doing. In the end time, that's why the work that I've been doing from Israel for the last 30 years, I believe is important, because Yahweh specifically commanded me to bring back the doctrine of the early congregation and to bring that the way that the early congregation was to the world. So by doing that, our congregation believes you need to follow Jerusalem time. Jerusalem is the, like I said, that's where the holy days will be forever. That's where Yeshua will reign, and that's where we will be with him. And there's only one holy day. And if my holy day is different than Jerusalem, then there's no way that my holy day could be correct. So I believe that covers everything for how to calculate the month. And I think it's really, really simple, to be honest. If you look at these things, and you could go online and you could download our biblical calendar book and read it. I can't tell you how many hundreds of letters I've gotten over the years saying how simple that book is, but how profound it is. And we have all the biblical and historical proof in there. And it's just so simple. Yahweh really does make it simple. And when you're looking at that, and you just put all the other stuff aside and just look at the biblical, it really is simple. And the things I went over today, I don't know how anybody can keep following the crescent moon when you look at how biblically you could disprove that very easily. So that's the biblical calendar that we see. That's the beginning of the month, the way we see. And like I said, we have a new month coming up in a couple of days. We have the holy day season coming up. We will be keeping Sukkot at Sela Mountain. We are packed full, and praise Yahweh for all of those ambassadors that will be there. And like I tell people on opening night, you did not choose to be here. Yahweh chose you. And there is no greater privilege in your life in any given year than to represent Yahweh at his headquarters at his feast time during Sukkot. So what a blessing it is. And, you know, it's amazing how inflation and how expensive things have gotten and how Yahweh has kept the cost down unbelievably to the same price pretty much what we were charging 20 years ago for it. So Yahweh is really good. And I say, all you have to do, if you can just save about $17 or $18 a week, you know, you could save enough money to come to the feast. You know, they call it Jordan. It's the other side of the Jordan River. It's still the land of Israel that we're keeping now in the wilderness in Selah. But you could do it. And if not every year, at least every second year or, you know, third year. But just like it said in Psalm 137, oh, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my palate, my tongue cleaved to my palate. And it's the same way we never want to forget what Yahweh is doing in these end times. Because what he is doing is, he is doing everything in the land of Israel, restoring the land of Israel. And once he finishes that and Yeshua returns, we will be with him going throughout all the earth. And right now, because of the chaos that's going on there, he has his people in the wilderness and he is preparing us for that job. And that's why these holy days are so important, because the spring holy days are looking back. We're looking back at what Yeshua did. We're looking back at coming out of sin and, you know, the receiving of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago. But in the fall holy days, we are living them now. They are real time. We are living them. Yeshua will be returning one of these Yom Teruahs very, very soon. And I'm not talking about 20 or 30 or 40 years from now. In a very, very soon, in a few years, Yeshua, Yom Teruah will be fulfilled. He will come on that day. And then the wedding supper on Yom Kippur. And then Sukkot, which is Yahweh's kingdom, you know, representative of Yahweh's kingdom throughout all the earth. So we need to be preparing for that. And we need to be getting ready, because time is moving really, really fast, and we got a lot of work to do. So I pray this study was a blessing to you, and Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.